News Talk 1620 WTAW. In less than 3 weeks, the Texas A&M System Board of Regents will take action on changing how faculty members can contribute to the selection of department heads, deans, and other academic leaders. That was a primary topic at today's meeting of the A&M Faculty Senate. Speaker Angie Hill Price provided some background.
There is a rule that is a university rule. So this is what the provost is talking about, is a system policy which will trump the university rules. So right now there's rule 12.99.99M5, and that's faculty participation, selection, evaluation, retention of deans. So right now a search committee cannot put, when they winnow down to their short list, the faculty have an opportunity to engage with that candidate, listen to presentations, and then they vote on the acceptability of that candidate. And the search committee cannot put forward a name that did not get a positive vote from the faculty who were voting, not out of the quantity of faculty, but just the majority of the faculty who voted. They can't put that name forward if they did not get a positive vote. This can make that vote basically advisory. That it eliminate, right now they cannot put forward a name, and the administration can't take a name that was not voted on positively by the faculty. Now, that cuts both ways, because right now if we have a small participation, then that says there's a small amount of faculty making decisions for the rest of the faculty. Also, you may have a search committee who knows information about someone that might be problematic, and, you know, for whatever reason that may trump a vote. But it is a change from what we do right now.
The details were presented by A&M Provost Carol Fierke.
Last time I was here, we talked about faculty governance and the sense that there wasn't sufficient faculty governance. I'm here to tell you today that the board is going to make a policy which is going to make you feel like there's less faculty governance. So what I want to tell you about what they're proposing, and then I want to have a discussion about how we can mitigate this, how we can actually get more input. So this is it's called Appointing Power and Terms and Conditions of Employment. And there are changes in on vice chancellors, but I thought I would just read about vice presidents, deans, and agency directors and department chairs, because I thought that that's what will affect you the most. I asked if I could share the policy, the full written policy with you, and they told me the board hasn't seen it yet, so that no, I could read it to you, we can talk about it, but I can't share it with you, so I'm sorry about that. Okay. With the approval of the chancellor, a university president shall appoint and reappoint vice presidents and deans of member universities, and agency directors shall appoint and reappoint deputy and associate directors of agencies. Now, that language isn't changed. So this is the part that has changed language in it. While university presidents and agency directors are expected to seek input from key campus or agency stakeholders, including administrators, faculty, and staff, in their decisions associated with the appointment or reappointment of administrators, their appointment decisions shall not be constrained by member rules in the appointment and reappointment of vice presidents, deans, department heads, and deputy or associate directors. So what that really means is, at least the yes-no votes that we take, we can still take them, but they will be advisory, not mandatory votes. I would like to talk about a couple of things. One, how yes-no doesn't provide a lot of information. So thinking about how we could get feedback that provides more information. So thinking about a sort of a list of qualifications and maybe a 1 to 5 scale, that really provides more information about what is working and what isn't working. For deans, department chairs, vice presidents. And then also, I've talked to a variety, like I talked to the executive group of the Senate, the executive of a group of CPI, and the university, the DPs. And I heard one of the concerns is really about department chairs. and how one provides feedback when things aren't going well with department chairs. So I suggest that we set up a lot of training and mentoring for department chairs, and also more formalized reviews, such as a 360 review. So the idea is to provide more resources for our leaders so that they can then do a better job. So I'm open to listening to any ideas. This, although I believe in the long run that having more information rather than a yes-no vote is the right place for us to go, I didn't start this policy change, and I did ask them for more time, so we would have more time to talk about how we could respond to it, but I was unsuccessful in getting that. So this is going to be, it's on the agenda for the board meeting in February. So the floor is open. I'm happy to answer questions, but I also think that this is a time that I'd really like you as the Senate to think about both how we provide better feedback to our leaders and how we provide better ways to support our leaders through the kinds of feedback and through mentoring, training for them.
The first question asked of Dr. Fierke was why the Board of Regents was making the change.
If the board hasn't seen it, who wrote it?
I think it's the system. The system. So who? This, I don't know exactly who in
Chancellor,
the system.
General Counsel.
I think it was I think Hallmark and the General Counsel worked on it together. We did provide some feedback. We got some language changed. We were able to insert that they should consult with the faculty at a couple of places in it. So we softened it a little bit.
Is there a problem they're trying to solve that we don't know about?
So my understanding is that one of I've been told, in fact, that it's the board that asked for this, although they didn't write it. And one of the issues was the ag search, where there were five candidates and 20% of the ag faculty voted and knocked out three of the five candidates. So I think that was a defining moment. Certainly, there was a sense that the geoscience dean search was perhaps negatively. Now, again, I wasn't here for that one, so that's gossip. There have also been, I have certainly had some deans tell me that there were things that they thought they should be doing that they didn't think they could do because they might get a negative vote. I've heard the same thing from department chairs. So I think that those are at least some of the issues that the board has seen that they thought that where the yes-no mandatory vote was causing some issues.
Okay, well, thank you. May I request that you ask for as much context as they can give us? That would help.
Sure.
Here are additional comments from Dr. Fierke about what could happen moving forward.
In general, the search committee has a lot more interaction with the candidates, and so in some ways, I would like to give more power to the search committee and or provide more opportunities for the faculty to interact with the candidates, because my understanding is right now the main interaction is the forum and the CV, which is limited amount of information, particularly if we're to make a judgment on an external candidate who really knows little about how things are done at Texas A&M.
I guess as a broader theme, I'm wondering if there is value to having relief valves for faculty dissent to shape opinion and
if having what? I'm sorry.
Sets of relief valves or valves, I guess you pronounce it. ways for faculty to express dissent in a way that is considered strongly. And unfortunately, in my 22 years here, one of the things I've come to realize is that advisory committees are often not worth a lot a lot of times the advice is a piece of paper that is filed away. So to the extent that the faculty role becomes advisory, that's going to have a long-term negative effect. So to counteract this particular trend, this particular rule, I think it would be important to have real teeth and some sort of faculty input into governance. Otherwise, you create disinterested faculty that, you know, will do their thing and let the university function in whatever way it might.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think that we can develop a culture where we listen to faculty even if there isn't any teeth. And so I think really trying to develop that culture around our leaders. And so that is these types of 360 evaluations where you actually get really detailed information from people who report to you can often be very eye-opening to leaders. And so I think figuring out how to provide that information. I am starting my office hours this week, not this semester, not this week. It's going to be on my calendar, so people will have an opportunity to come talk to me. I will also start the Provost Advisory Committee, which this week, plus I meet with CPI, department heads, DPs, the Faculty Senate. So there's a lot of opportunity for different groups to provide some information to me. So I will, you know, do my best at trying to get the deans to listen. Certainly I will listen to what faculty have to say. And sometimes faculty don't completely understand everything. And so if we make a decision that isn't in line with what the faculty voted or want, I think some description of why the decision was made is warranted.
Repeating an earlier comment from the provost, the regents have not seen the written proposal that they'll consider when they meet in College Station February 7th through the 9th. This is News Talk 1620 WTAW.